one day.
A blessed Lord's Day to all our valued listeners to Because He Lives radio program every Sunday morning. This is made possible through the sponsorship of Federal Motor Spears, located at Bank Hall, Main Road, the Church of the Nazarene Family. Expresses thanks for Federal Motor Spears' continuous support. May God continue to bless the business of Mr. Aline and his family. I am Pastor John Yard from the Westmoreland Church of the Nazarene, located in Westmoreland, St. James. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you are the source of our salvation. Amen. Father, we are grateful that you are the source of all grace and all mercy. Your mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. And we are the beneficiaries of the abundance of your mercy. Father, we are grateful for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who empowers us to be faithful, who empowers us to be fearless as we share the truth of your word. Father, in this season, when commitment is waning, may your word be a source of strength to someone listening this morning. And Father, we pray that you touch the body of some sick person listening to the program this morning, whose strength is ebbing away, whose hope is diminishing. Father, may your hand of comfort, may your hand of care, may your hand of restoration be their portion today. In Jesus' name, we call this done in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus. Praise God. Last Sunday, I spoke of the impact of the resurrection power and what it had on the lives of the disciples. And by extension, it must also impact our lives. Actually, it must impact the lives of Christians of every generation to the same magnitude and greater, to the extent that we act. It must also impact our lives as we seek to model Christ, as we model Christ in the marketplace, as we model Christ on the job, as we model Christ in our community, the places we live, the places we frequent, there must be a modeling of Christ wherever we go, by our actions. The place we worship, we must also model Christ there. Actually, the household of faith should be the ones modeling Christ in a very clear way. Unity must be a glue in the body of Christ. Frivolous matters must not be given prominence among the body of Christ. And the world knew they were my disciples by their love for each other. Hence, that must be or a mantra, that must be what is seen. Today I wish to look at the theme, venturing out with the message of Christ and its implications. Venturing out with the message of Christ and its implications. And I want to use some background scriptures so you can read these scriptures. Mark 3, 20 to 21. And then you go down to 31 to 34. Mark 3, just read a few of them. Then the multitude came together so that they could not so much as eat bread. But when His own people heard about this. They went out to lay hold on him, and they said, "He is out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons." So he called them to himself and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but has an aim. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds up the strong man, and then he will plunder his house." The idea of venturing suggests daring to do something or go somewhere that may be dangerous or unpleasant. Sounding familiar? I should read that again. The idea of venturing suggests daring to do something or go somewhere that may be dangerous or unpleasant. They say to you this morning, church, and those listening to me, wherever you are, that we're called to venture out and share the message of salvation. And that is clearly stated in Matthew 28:19-20. And if we are to model Christ, that is the example he set. And that was the result of the empowerment he gave to his disciples, so that the good news of salvation must be spread. That was part of the equipping process in the upper room. And we all call that Matthew 28:19-20 verses, we call it the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is still very relevant to the church today. It is needed. But we note that as Jesus ventured out, we see the implications on his person. And I need to add that, venturing out with the message of Christ and its implications. It has implications, but the implications of venturing out must not prevent us from walking in obedience to the commission given to us in Matthew 28:19-20. Our example, Jesus Christ, as he ventured out, I said we see the implications on his person, on his character, on his mental stability. And we must be prepared for those types of attacks as we move to share the good news of salvation. Note there in verse 21, it was said, "He is out of his mind." He is out of his mind. Out of his mental stability. He doesn't have it together. He was further accused of being possessed by Beelzebub. Demons. Why was that? Because Jesus dared to venture out. He dared to challenge the scribes and the Pharisees. He dared to challenge the intelligentsia of his age, of his season. He dared to challenge the orthodoxy of the time. He dared to challenge the moral deterioration that was prevalent. And I want you to note this morning, as children of God, you will always be labeled and called names as you stand for the principle of Christ, as you stand on the moral and divine authority that comes from the Word. In 2023, there are new names that are given as you stand for righteousness. There are new names you're called for being an ambassador, for being a believer in the Word of God. But do not be deterred. Do not allow that to stop us from venturing out and fulfilling the requirement that is expected of us as children of God. We too have got to venture out. We too have got to dare to deal with the challenge of our own moral deterioration, not only of that time, but of our time before our eyes. The infiltration of our institutions, the apparent wrongness of calling God's name. That is why the upper room experience was made available to us, that we will have the boldness and the courage and the determination to venture out and declare, thus saith the Lord. Perhaps this is a pertinent question. When last have you shared your faith with someone? When last have you encouraged someone that the blood of Jesus Christ is still relevant for today? When last have you shared with someone that prayer still works? When last have you encouraged your brother to trust the Lord? We must venture out. Have you ever been told you better keep your mouth shut? You better leave that alone? All those are strategies and stratagems of the enemy to keep us quiet, to keep us still. As Jesus ventured out, we recognize in the text, the verses, if you read them right through, his family became concerned for his safety. And if you were to read verses 31 of Mark 3, this is what it said. Then his brothers and his mother came, and standing outside, they sent in calling him because they were concerned about his safety. The news had spread. Jesus had challenged what was happening. He had dared to challenge. He had dared to share the message of salvation with them. And that is why the family became concerned. So you see what happened. One side was saying he's out of his mind. His family is becoming concerned. And when we begin to get serious for the things of God, it attracts interesting attention. Some persons ask, do you have to be so passionate? Do you have to be so straight? Do you have to seek to be always correct? And what happens too is that they were concerned for his security. And I know that there's much concern for security in these days. Actually, security is used in some quarters as reasons why we should no longer venture out. But I want to suggest to you this morning that as the Church of Jesus Christ took the baton, our upper room experience must be real. That is what it was about. Venturing out. That's what the endowment was about. That is what the unity was about. So that we will take the baton and venture out. You see, our Christian experience must be real. Our Christian experience must be solid. You know why? Because our Christian experience will be tested. It will be tested by fire. Our Christian experience will be tested by criticism. It will be tested by false accusation. Just reflect on the text and see what was said of Jesus. What was said to Jesus, from his mental stability to his security to his ministry. It was all derided. It was all laughed at. So don't expect us to come through this experience before having these difficulties. But just as the disciples were requested to be in one accord, I want to show you something that is very instructive. Let me read a verse for you in Acts chapter 7, verse 57. Listen to this carefully. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. Pastor, one accord. Yes. As we venture out with the message of salvation, as we venture out with the message of Jesus Christ, we will be attacked. And there will be united fronts to distract the message and the mission. They were in one accord in their attack. Just as we are called on to be one accord in unity, one accord in prayer, one accord in purpose. As we venture out, Acts 7 verse 57 shows us what happens as men hearts are pierced. And of course, that was the account with Stephen. They got into one accord. It reminds me of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. Their united front came together when they were going after Jesus. Outside of Jesus being a target, they had tension among themselves. But there was a common accord when the attack was on Jesus. But Jesus never wilted from his task. He never stopped the responsibility he had. He ventured out, even with its implications. I want to suggest that must be the mind of us as we follow him. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit empowers us to venture out, understanding that as he was confronted, we will be confronted, but also understanding as he overcame, so we will overcome. We are overcomers. So know that then, the enemy also comes with one accord. But his one accord is to do what? To kill, to steal, and to destroy. I usually call that at church, that is the strategic plan of the enemy. So hence then, as we venture out, we must be bathed in prayer. We must be in one accord as we venture into the area and territory that the enemy wished to keep for himself. He wants to keep us quiet, shut us up, worry about our security. But as we venture out, let us go as a united front with the message and the mission of Jesus Christ. It is very important in this age, because if the message die, if the mission is lost, then we are surrendering all that Christ empowered us to do. And we cannot have that. Already when you look across the world, you have seen the dent that has occurred in the last 2 years or 3 years. You've seen the lash Sunday schools have got. You've seen the lash confidence in people have had. And we call on, in spite of, to venture out. My prayer this morning is that we will take that responsibility serious. We'll take that task serious. As I reflected on Jesus, I made 3 observations in the very text that I write there from 20 to 31. I made 3 observations in the text. I observed that Christ ventured out to the extent that he did not stop the mission due to security concerns. As I alluded to early, his mother and brothers came to him out of concern for his security. They heard the venom that was leaving the mouth of his detractors. But Jesus did not stop the mission due to security concerns. I know security is big for us. Security of tenor, food security, relational security, social acceptance. Actually, we're taught that when our security and significance are compromised, our spirits can become low, in a low place. But as we venture out, we are reminded that our Christian journey requires us to deny ourselves. Our Christian journey requires us to take up our cross and follow Jesus. There are men who are still dying in their sin. There are youngsters who have no knowledge of Jesus Christ. the youngsters who have no experience of Sunday school, and we cannot afford, we don't have the luxury of not going. We don't have the luxury of not following the example of our master. Not only did he not abandon the mission of venturing out and its implications because of his security, it looks as though he threw away his safety. Action that requires rifts is dealt with gingerly. You know, sometimes in our Christian experience, action that risks our person, that risks how we may be thought about, there's a tendency to be very gingerly. Jesus did not compromise the message. He ventured out. Sometimes we are more concerned with the course of the action than we are with the moral quality, its rightness or wrongness. The Holy Spirit this morning enables us to remain focused on the message. It is necessary, my brother, my sister, it is necessary. It is needed. Another thing I observe is that Jesus became indifferent to the noises around him. He kept focus on the message as he ventured out. He kept focus on the mission to share the good news of salvation. He refused to allow the comments from the scribes and the comments from the Pharisees and even the interest in his family's security to deter his mission. He refused to allow the comments, "He's always mine," to stop the mission. You know, I hear H.G. Wells once said, "For most people, the voice of their neighbors is louder than the voice of God." What he means there, he means that persons respond more to what people say than what the voice of God says. That will be a sad place to be. Actions determine, divine actions, righteous actions, determined only by the loudness of the voice of your neighbor, is a dangerous chart to follow. The officials were angry with the message Christ preached. Great anger resulted from the message Stephen preached. Great anger resulted from the message Peter preached as they all ventured out to share the news of salvation, accepting its implications. I pray this morning that you'll be so moved to restart the process, because anger resulted from the message they preached. Those are some of the implications for carrying out the message. But we have no choice. We have to venture out so we can touch the lives of others. We have to venture out because there's a need. There's a need. People are in need of the good news. Not only bread. Man cannot exist by just bread alone. We give bread, but we must give the bread of the word. So as we prepare as a church, as we prepare as a people to venture out, your security will be taken care by him. Your safety will be taken care by him. Become indifferent to the noises of others and begin to listen to the voice of the Lord. You're needed. That's why you are saved to serve. Do not allow the names to force you into silence. Do not allow the criticism to force you into inactivity. That's why the Holy Spirit dwells in you, to empower you so you can rise above your feelings and become an obedient and effective soldier. God bless you today. Father, your word instructs us to be messengers of the salvation experience. May we be so impacted by your spirit that we would freely share the good news with others. This morning, we have two announcements for you to listen to. One from Sister Kimberly, who is going to tell us about our Nazarene Day, and Sister Ordine, who will tell us about our Big Children's Gala at Calmaro. Listen, and then we want you to also participate. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. And remember, venture out with faith in spite of its implications. God bless you.
Good morning to everyone and to all my Nazarene brothers and sisters. Nazarene Day 2023 is fastly approaching. It will be held on Friday, the 28th of April. This is on National Heroes Day at the King George V Memorial Park, Ruby, St. Philip, between the hours of 9:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. On this day, we are going to have the following events. We're going to have worship ministry, sports, games, and athletics events, which would include cricket, football, netball, basketball, road tennis, relays, tug-of-war, egg and spoon race, sack race, three-leg race, card, and board games. We are inviting you to participate in these sporting events. In addition, we are also going to be having a health and wellness clinic and a business exposition. I am eager to see all of you Nazarenes as we come together for a day of fellowship whilst fostering and building relationships with members across the Nazarene district. We are encouraging all Nazarenes to wear their zone colors on this day. Hope to see you there.
Greetings and blessings to everyone in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. My name is Ardeen Boyce, and I'm here to invite you to come out and share with the Nazarene Discipleship Ministries as we present Shining in the Light of God's Glory, Children's Gala No. 2, and an art exhibition on Sunday the 30th of April at 5 p.m. at the Colum Rock Church of the Nazarene. The aim of the gala is to get the children between 5 and 18 years across the 33 churches on our district an opportunity to display their talents, whether it be in singing, poetry, dance, playing a musical instrument, or drama. We would also be having a district children's choir, and we want to invite children from all the churches to participate. This year, the department has added an art exhibition to expose those children who may not be able to sing or do drama, but they may have artistic talents. We want to invite them to submit their art pieces that the other children can see their talents as well. The contribution is just $10 for all persons. However, the children who are participating and the children under 5 years will be admitted free. We want to encourage as many children across the district to get involved in the gala. And we wish to invite you Nazarenes, your families and friends, to come out and be blessed by our children. Refreshments will be on sale. So we encourage you to come out and give our children your support. Have a blessed day.
Because